and there are probably 15 people here to hear it. And so pray. For those of you that missed last week, basically every year when I was a school teacher, well, not every year, but a couple of times this happened where I was a school teacher, students asked me about sex, they asked me about relationships, they asked me about dating, they asked me why sex before marriage was wrong, or why Christians believe that sex before marriage is wrong. And as an answer to that question that continued to come up, I literally grabbed a roll of duct tape and I talked about how people have a natural ability to stick together, to stick to one another. And in particular, a husband and wife are supposed to be stuck together for life. And if you take two pieces of duct tape and you stick them together, they're hard to pull apart. The problem is the Bible says that when you have sex with someone, it says the two become one flesh. And that's not a problem if you're having sex with your wife or your husband. It's only a problem when you're having sex with other people, because then you become stuck to someone that isn't your spouse. And you become stuck to them in ways that are then damaging. And we talked about how the mind replays that, and you live with guilt and difficulty, and that makes moving on in that relationship hard. And we talked about how the Holy Spirit heals us if we repent of our sin and we confess our sin, then he is faithful and he forgives us of our sin. And that's how sex and duct tape was started. But I'm going to be honest with you. I think the number one issue facing Christians today is pornography. And it's not just for young men. It's for men of all ages, and it's for women of all ages. It's a problem for everyone all the time, and it's a huge issue. And so that's what we're going to be talking about a bit tonight, is pornography. So part of the deal with this is I have a cell phone, and the reason that I have a cell phone is to communicate. And the deal with this is students have questions and issues and things that come up, and they don't know who to turn to. And here's what I'm hoping is that you'll turn to me rather than turning to the internet, because whatever answer you get from the internet may or may not be right, but the chances of it being holy and biblical are very small. But if you have a question that you don't want to become public knowledge and you want to text it to me or you want to call me, that's my number. And it doesn't matter if you're a boy or a girl. It doesn't matter if you're old or young. It doesn't matter if your question is what seems silly, or if you're afraid to ask because your friends are going to tease you or whatever. I'm not going to make fun of you. I'm not going to make it public. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to call you names. I'm just going to reply and pray and those kinds of things. So feel free to send me a text anytime. So before we get started on this, I want to pray with you tonight, if that'd be all right. Let's do that. I'll even take my hat off since you don't really like it. That was a joke. Lord God, we thank you that even with this difficult topic, we can come to you, we can look to your word, and we can understand how to be overcomers. Lord Jesus, when you came to this earth, you said, "I have come to make you free indeed." And so that's the cry of our hearts, is for freedom, Lord. So we ask that these words might be glorifying to you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I like the hat, even if you don't. So the thing with pornography is it's a problem like no other. So let me tell you what that means. Sex outside of marriage, you have to have somebody to have sex with in order to have sex outside of marriage. But pornography, you don't need any help. With stealing, you have to go somewhere where there's something you desire in order to steal it. And then you have to get away with it, which sometimes is easy and sometimes is hard. But you have to be somewhere else and you have to commit a crime, and then you have to try to get away in order to steal something. With pornography, you don't have to go somewhere else. With lying, there's an interaction between two people, and you feel the immediate issue of, I have to lie to this person. with cheating, the same kind of thing goes on where, you know, maybe you want to cheat on a test or you want to cheat your friends or whatever it is. There are people involved, and with cheating, you don't want to get caught, and so there's something where there's an interaction. But with pornography, that's not true. With pornography, that's not true. The truth is, pornography is always there, and it's always tempting. So we're going to watch what this guy has to say.
Sound good? I smell good, and I look good. Just when you think you've had enough of me, I draw you back in. Think you can break free from me? Don't be so sure. I am singed.
It's everywhere, all the time. Pornography is different from other things because it's everywhere and it's all the time. So before I go on any further, let me tell you this is my definition of pornography. Anything that's visual that stimulates you sexually is pornography. So for some people, the definition of pornography is way up here, and they say, well, it's when two people are having sex together on screen. No, that's not the definition of pornography. Pornography can be something very simple. You can have pornography going on a television commercial, because there are plenty of television commercials that are sexually stimulating. So even when you want to avoid it, pornography will chase you down. And that's what makes pornography so different from everything else. The sin of lying doesn't chase you down. You have to go after it. The sin of gossip, sometimes people try to gossip to you, but you don't have to repeat it. In fact, if you want to repeat it, you have to find somebody to repeat it to. So there are all these other things, there are all these other issues where you have to be actively engaged in. And with pornography, it chases you down. It comes after you. The deal with pornography is statistics are everywhere. And I'm sure this isn't the first time you guys have heard about pornography as an issue. It's been an issue for years and years. And so I could spout off statistics for a long time. But instead what I'm going to do is I'm going to have KJ52, who's an artist, and he's going to share some statistics about pornography.
path that I hope they follow, But it's a path that I hope they follow, Help me change. But it's a path that I hope they follow,
Change. Now I see too much.
Take it all away.
Now I need your touch.
Help me walk away.
Help me change, I know.
Effects of pornography are huge and widespread. I mean, things that you'd think about, like pornography has a huge impact on divorce. In fact, the number of people who get divorced and cite pornography as one of the issues in their divorce is staggering. It's more than half of all divorces have pornography as a contributing factor. More than half. And that doesn't, I mean, that's Christian and non-Christian alike. It's huge, it's rampant, it's everywhere, and it chases people down. So here's one of the things that people talk about a lot. They say Christians are against a bunch of things, like Christians are against this and Christians are against that. And I'm going to come out and say right here, as clear as day, I'm against pornography. No great shock, right? Duh. Well, here's the thing. The reason I'm against pornography is because I am for sex. Which seems a little backwards, like most pastors don't talk about sex. Like, sex. Well, here's the thing. I think sex is fantastic, and it's amazing. And here's the thing. The analogy is this. Sex is like fire. And fire in the fireplace is a good thing. I mean, how many of you like cold day, rainy day, warm cup of cocoa next to the fire? It's comforting. It just feels good. Sex is good. In the fireplace, fire is good. On the stove, when you're cooking, fire is good. When you're camping and you want to roast marshmallows, fire is good. But house fires are bad. If you start a fire in your living room on the floor next to the couch, that's bad. If you're in the forest and you have a fire inside your tent, that's bad. If you go to school and you light a fire in your classroom, that's, well, some of you would be like, dude, that's cool. No, that's bad. Let's say that's bad just for the sake of argument. That's bad. It's bad to have fire in your classroom. It's bad to have fire in your on your couch. It's bad to have fire in your bedroom on your bed. That's not a good place to light a fire. Okay? So sex is good, and I am for it. I think married people should be having more sex. So there you go. That's what I have to say about that. I am for sex. I just want you to hear that as clearly as could be. But here's the thing. Pornography messes sex up. And here's the thing that most people don't think about, and there's actual psychological studies that talk about this, where if you take a married couple and they're and they have one spouse or the other that's engaging in pornography, this doesn't make sense, it's backwards, but it actually makes their sex life worse. It doesn't make it better, it makes it worse. And if you ask both partners over the course of time, is your sex life better or worse because of the pornography, and they say worse. Over and over again, they say worse. And there are a lot of reasons for that, and one of them is because you end up with unrealistic expectations, and guys think, well, this should happen, and girls are like, that's not even, no, just no, no. And for good reason, no, the word is no. Girls, you should just practice this. Say no with me. Ready? No. See, there you go. You're good at it. You got the attitude, a little snap, head bob. There you go. Just say no, because that's stupid. But regardless of what, you know, what else is going on, hear this. Pornography is the number one issue facing Christians today. And it faces teenagers at an unparalleled rate. And this is a huge reason for it right here. Everywhere you go, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you have access with this thing. And many, many of you have one. And it's a killer. It's a killer, it's a killer, it's a killer, because it's everywhere. You can't escape it. It's everywhere.
The younger you are, the quicker I pounce. And the older you get, the more tricks I've got. The more naive you stay, the easier I ensnare. And the wiser you are, the more sly I become. The stronger you get, the more I attack. I am Sims.
Some of us have experienced this, and you feel like there's no escape. You feel like you can't get away from it. No matter what you do, it comes back to you. It circles back around. It's this recurring nightmare that happens while you're awake, and it makes you feel like a less person. And we'll talk about that in a bit. But the number of stories that could be told, it's staggering. I read on, you saw the XXX Church website. It's a fantastic website. And there's a confessions part. And I saw a kid who was like 12 writing a post on this website about how he was already addicted. And it just, you know, your heart breaks. It's everywhere. And it's difficult. And it seems like no matter what happens, it just comes back. And it just comes back. There's a guy, his name is Levi the Poet, and I'm going to play this video for you, but I'm just going to warn you right now, it's a little bit abrasive, okay? So try to listen close, because the things that he says resonate with people who have dealt with this issue. And when he plays it, he plays this weird, scratchy thing, and then there's a woman whose voice comes out, and it's a recording, it's an interview, and it's an interview with a woman who came out of the porn industry, and you hear her voice, and she confesses some things, and it's difficult to listen to, but you need to know, well, you just need to know. You need to know how to pray, and you need to know what we're up against. So this is Levi the Poet.
Anything sexual is progressive. You start and you're like, well, you know, this isn't that bad. But as soon as you start doing that and you get used to it, then the next thing isn't that bad.
Excuse me, miss. I've seen your poster recently. I read your ad in one of Playboy's latest magazines. Actually, I've fed pretty much every need that I believe photography could feed me. But if you can believe me, I hate it. You're worth more than my brief moment of orgasm when I allow my mind to deceive me. Hey, look. I mean, I'd like to be an open book. It's hard for me to admit how I took advantage of the desires God gave me, but I do not want to sugarcoat this. I feel hopeless, trapped in brokenness, like I'm lost before I even started racing. And I know as well as anybody, this is a difficult topic to be facing. This is a difficult confession for me to be making, but I'm stating that when God started the molding, shaping, and creating, you and you and you and you and you were not designed to be the objects that men look at while masturbating. Baby, never forget that you were made for relating, and I'm dedicating this to everybody sick of waiting for me to realize exactly what it is I'm saying. And I apologize. It was never my intent to ruin lives, compromise, or feed these eyes something other than what was designed.
I never thought that I would be going home bleeding from being ripped or bruises or having welts and cuts from them whipping me and tying me up. So I finally had it and had to get out of there because it drove me to pieces and got in between my relationship personally and with my family.
Sometimes, though, I feed my indecency, kind of slide that magazine across the counter and do it quietly, kind of shine my face away so the cashier can't see that it's me. Will that be all for you today, sir? Yes, ma'am. I'd like to pay to become the opposite of what I want to be. I should have waited dedicated to see the experience God had planned for me from the beginning.
I am not patient enough to not give in to every sin forbidden to the hearts of men. And I'm not patient enough to not give in.
But here we go again.
I just apologized 5 minutes ago, and that was after repenting for last night and this morning. God, come on, what's going on? I'm sick of this. Somebody put some clothes on. You're better than this. God's most beautiful creation, and I'm sitting here euphoric, like I have the right to destroy it just because I don't have enough dedication to build a relationship with the one that can free me. So I resort to suffocation of my very foundations while claiming that I'm striving to meet the expectations of purity.
Jesus, keep reassuring me.
I'm yearning to be the entity that you desire me to be.
Jesus, keep reassuring her. The one in the centerfold, the picture I'll remember until I grow old. She is human. She is bought and sold to a million empty souls feeling so hopeless that they'll do anything to fill the hole.
Jesus, keep reassuring her, the one in the centerfold, the picture I'll remember until I grow old. You are human. You are bought and sold to a million empty souls feeling so hopeless that they'll do anything to fill the hole.
And I apologize. It was never my intent to downsize or objectify the beauty God had wrapped tight until its proper time in my life.
You go home, you lay in your bed, you cry, you're wondering, what the hell am I doing to myself?
It's disturbing. It's terrifying. It's unnerving. And for so many, it's true. The things that he said, this is his life experience, and it's true. The thing that we least want to be, the thing that we most want to get away from, the thing that we want to check out from and push away to the side is the very thing that traps us and pulls us and drags us under. And the exchange that when he's talking about his exchange with the cashier where he says that, yes, I want to pay so that you can make me the very thing I don't want to be is exactly how so many feel. It's terrifying. And this is addiction. This is addiction. And if you don't suffer, praise the Lord and pray for your brothers and sisters that do. Because it's terrifying and it's horrifying and it's revolting. And I know young men, and I talk to young men because I'm a man, so that's who I work with. But there are young women who struggle with this very same thing. It's not only a young man's issue, it's a woman's issue too, but I talk with young men and they weep and they wail and they moan and they cry and they say, why can't I stop doing this? Why can't I just turn it off? There's no turning it off. And part of it is because Satan has taken what God put in us, that desire that we're supposed to have for our wife. It's a natural desire that we're supposed to have for our wives, and it's perfect and it's beautiful in marriage, and it's the way it ought to be, and there's supposed to be an attractiveness to it, and we're supposed to desire it within marriage, and he's taken that thing which is beautiful and perfect, and he's twisted and contorted it and made it into pure evil. And he's packaged it in a pretty bow. And he's put it on every shelf in every store. And what's more, he sends it to you in a text message. You don't even have to look for it. It will find you. It's the issue that is more dangerous, that is more problematic, that has more victims, that has more chaos and death wrapped and shrouded in flowers and perfume. And it rots us from the inside out. It's the number one issue facing the Christians today. Because you can't avoid it. And so many of us, and praise the Lord, that I know that there are both young men and young women in this room who haven't dabbled in this at all. They haven't gone down that path. And I'm so excited about that. And I'm so happy about that. And I praise the Lord for that. And I thank God for that. Because if you do just a little bit, it's that tiny compromise, one misstep, and he has you.
Some might say I'm only interested in the big things, but that's not the case at all. I love the little white lie. I encourage the second glance at that girl. I hope you take that extra drink. One little compromise. Sometimes that's all I need. I am Sims.
And it doesn't have to be pornography for this to apply. It could be anything, but it does happen so often with pornography. We see that people who have said, well, I'm going to draw the line here. I'm going to engage, but I'm only going to go so far. And every time they cross their own lines. Wherever you draw the line, whatever you think is too far, whatever that place is, you'll go past it. If you say, I'm going to tell a joke. It's like Ruffles. I bet you can't eat just one. Maybe that's Fritos. Whatever it is. You get the idea that one is enough. One is enough. So make it none. Make it none ever. None. Because once you started, once you've started. So, this is a bleak picture I've painted you. It's difficult and it's abrasive and it makes you feel unnerved and uneasy and it's, you just want to go home and take a shower. that's how I feel. Every year I prepare for this message and I pray and I still want to, I want this to be over and done with because the topic is so hard. It's hard on me just preparing for the message. It's hard. But I do have hope. I have hope to offer you. And I want you to hear this. And this is what I want to be ringing in your spirits and souls as you leave. There is hope. There's hope. And here's the thing. The first thing that you need to do is you need to do the prevention piece. Some of you are familiar with this because I've talked about it so many times. But in the book of Matthew in chapter 5, and actually in multiple other places, Jesus talks about prevention in Matthew 5:25. You guys can read it all if you'd like. But in essence, it says, whatever causes you to sin, cut it off. Cut it off, which is easy to say but hard to do. That means that you have to say, I can't have this thing anymore, because when I have it, I sin with it. Or maybe there are things in your house that you need to give away, throw away, or destroy. That's very possible. It's possible that you ought not have a computer at all. Because if you have one, you'll find ways to misuse it. And I've told this to you guys before. I don't have any movies with any nudity anywhere in my house. Zero. And I don't, we don't receive mail that has intentional pictures of lingerie. We don't get it. It doesn't come to my house. Victoria's Secret doesn't come to my house. Period. It doesn't happen. We don't get it. And those are just a couple of things where you cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. And for some of you, this isn't an issue. You're like, I don't get why this is such a big deal. It doesn't make any sense to me. You have your own favorite sin. It might not be this one, but it might be something else that you know you need to cut it off. And when young men come into my office or we talk over the phone and we talk about, hey, I have this problem and I can't stop and I don't know what to do. And the first thing I say is, where is it that you sin? And when is it that you sin? And how is it that you sin? Because if you can identify the where and the when and the how, then you can find ways to cut it off. Well, I only sin when I'm bored. Well, then if you know you're going to be bored, don't be in a place where you can sin. Well, I sin mostly when I'm tired. Then when you're tired, make sure that you go to bed instead of lingering where sin can happen. Well, I sin at random times, but you sin with the same device. Take that device out of your life. Cut it off. And this is the problem. People don't always know how to do this. And I'm telling you right now, this isn't about ego. This isn't about me telling you I'm something special because I'm not. But I do have the Spirit of God living within me. And if you need help with this, ask me. I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to call you names. I'm not here to call you out. I'm not here to say you're worse than others or you're lousy or you're depraved. I'm here to say Jesus loves you and there's hope and there's healing, but you might need somebody to kick you in the head. And I'm happy to do it because I love you. And I'll do it with a smile. There's more. We have accountability issues because we have secrets. Go ahead.
Shh. You can't tell nobody about me. Besides, we got a good thing going. You trapped. Nowhere to go. No one to turn to. You actually think people could forgive you? Don't worry, your secret's safe with me. I am Sins.
You may have seen the statistic on the screen when KJ52 was recording. 70% of all women hide their internet activity. Why? Because they're doing things they're ashamed of. It may not be that they're surfing for internet pornography, but it may be that they're involved in an inappropriate relationship. It may be that they're on a site of a chat room or some kind of alternate reality where they can lose themselves and become part of some other universe that's seductive and tells them what they want to hear and flatters them and makes them feel wanted and special. And every woman wants to be cherished. And they want to know someone's willing to fight for them. And the problem is that the wrong people will tell you the right things. And whether you're a man or a woman, it doesn't matter because if you're hiding things, it's sin. People don't hide things that are good. I know what you're thinking. What about Christmas? Oh, shut up. you want to hide things, it's sin. Let's look at the book of James and see what it says. The book of James in chapter 5, in verse 16. I have it here. 1, 2, 3, go. It says this, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. I'm telling you guys the truth. One of the other things that I do in my life, because I know I need help, is that I meet weekly with an accountability partner. And I tell him the stuff I don't tell anybody else. I tell my wife and I tell my friend. You know why? Because when I tell him, look, I sinned this week and this is what I did, he loves me and he smacks me on the head and then he prays for me. He says, you know, you shouldn't have even put yourself in that position. You know, you shouldn't have walked down that path to begin with. You wouldn't have sinned if you had been smart up front. If you had done the prevention piece, then you wouldn't have done the sin. And I go, you're right. And I learn and I grow. Here's what accountability isn't, okay? Because this is part of the hope. You have to have hope. And this is part of the hope. Accountability brings hope. But accountability is not this. Accountability is not people sitting around saying, I sinned. Did you sin? Oh, yeah, I sinned too. Oh, did you sin? Yep, I sinned too. Oh, did you sin too? Yep, I sinned too. Oh, we all sinned. Shut up! That's not accountability. That's some kind of a worthless, I'm going to wash my hands of sin because everybody else did it. No, accountability is I sinned and I was wrong. And when I tell you I sinned, I expect you to kick me in the head. You were wrong. What were you thinking? I love you too much to let you continue in this behavior because this behavior leads to death. And you need somebody to say that to your face. Somebody that loves you and will pray for you. And you may need to say that to somebody else who you love and will support and pray for. Because we need each other. We cannot do this on our own. We need each other. Most people live in a cycle of sin. Most people live in a cycle of sin where they sin and they feel bad about it and the guilt leads them to sin again because I feel bad and so I want to numb the pain so then I go back to sin and then I sin and then I feel worse. Well, now I feel extra guilty about the sin and the sin before. And this is the cycle. I sin, I feel guilty, I sin, I feel guilty, I sin, I feel guilty. And then sometimes there's a breakthrough. Okay, I've confessed my sin, I've repented of my sin, I'm washed of my sin, I'm ready to step away from this monster and walk in freedom. And you take two steps and you sin again. Because you can't do it on your own. You need help. You need encouragement. You need somebody praying for you and with you. You need real accountability that's regular and permanent. You need someone. The last thing I want to tell you about is escape. Escape. I'm going to read you a story. This is from the book of Genesis. It was written a long time ago. Genesis chapter 39 says this in verse 6. Now Joseph was a well-built and handsome man, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." Yikes. But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her. "My master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he entrusts to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you. because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? And though he spoke, though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. You see, he wouldn't even hang out with her. Smart. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties. None of the household servants was inside. She caught him by the cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and he ran out of the house. The issue with pornography is sometimes it finds you. Like, I wasn't even looking for it, and it came and found me. Let me tell you of an experience like this. I have a high school diploma. You should be amazed, because that's pretty fantastic. I know. I have a high school diploma, and some of the people that I went to high school with are friends of mine on Facebook. And one of these, I'm not making this up, one of the girls that graduated with me in high school, who was not really my friend at all in high school, wanted to be my friend on Facebook. And I thought, whatever. I don't know if you guys do that sometimes, like whatever. So it was a whatever friend request from a girl that I knew but I wasn't friends with. Well, it turns out, this is going to be the shocker, ready for this? This girl had had a boob job. Not making this up. I'm dead serious. She'd had a boob job. And so guess what was all over her Facebook? Pictures of her in bikinis. I didn't go looking for it. It came and found me. Run away. Swim away. I had to unfriend her. Because I can't. I can't be friends with somebody who has bikini pictures all over their Facebook. I can't. Can't. Sometimes sin will catch hold of you from behind and try to drag you in, and you have to leave your cloak behind and run away. And sometimes that's easier said than done. Sometimes that's very, very difficult, but you have to. I want to end with this. There's healing and there's hope. And the thing that makes pornography just that much more difficult is the images that you see get burned into your brain, and then you remember them. And sometimes it gets to the point where every time you close your eyes, you see one of those images. And I'm telling you, there's healing and there's hope. And one of the things you can do is you can very simply put on some music. Put on some music that gives glory to God, and you can sing the lyrics in your mind, or you can sing them in your heart, or you can sing them with your mouth. And in worshiping God, the Lord says, through the word, I will cleanse you. I will wash you in the word. And you can literally begin to wash that garbage away. And it really, really helps. There is healing. There is hope. You can overcome. But you have to be vigilant, and you have to work at it, and you have to work at it, you have to work at it, you have to work at it, you have to work at it. So let me just say this again. If you have thoughts or you have questions or you are struggling and you need help, send me a text message. I think my number is up there right now. I hope my number is up there right now. I want you guys to literally, I don't do this because I'm bored lots of times and I just need somebody to text me. That's not what this is about. The only other thing I want to say is this, and then I'm going to pray and close. This website right here is the best porn website there is, because it's called XXXChurch.com. And on XXXChurch.com, there are things to help. There are tools that can help. Like there are filters that you can buy that will help block pornographic websites, and you can put them on your computer, you can put them on your phone. Yes, I do have one on my phone, just in case you're wondering. No, nobody texted me. But you can get these things. Sometimes they cost a little bit of money, sometimes they're free, but they do help. There are also other, you know, you can commiserate with other people who are going through the same thing, and you can see that, and there are other kinds of resources. So if you're afraid to text me because you don't want me to think bad of you, go. You can still go to the website. There are lots of resources there for Ready for This, boys and girls, men and women, young and old. This is a fantastic resource. I just want to put it in your hands. I'm going to pray now. Ready? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are a forgiving God, that we don't have to live in guilt, that even when we sin and we fall and we are wrecked and ruined and you forgive us and you lift us up and you build us and you renew us. And we're so grateful for that, Lord. We ask, Father, that you would forgive us and wash us and cleanse us, and that you would empower us by your Holy Spirit and give us the ability to be set free. As you told us we were set free, let us walk in freedom. Freedom from sin. The freedom to not go back to the vomit that we discarded some time ago that we don't want to have anything to do with again. Help us to walk in freedom, Lord. I pray you give these students the ability to find ways to confess their sin and repent of their sin and be cleansed of their sin and to be accountable, Lord, and help them, Lord, to find ways to flee from their sin, even as Joseph left his cloak behind. Help us, Lord, to not have anything that we're so attached to that we won't leave it behind when it's dragging us towards sin. To cut those things out of our lives that constantly bring us to the place of sin. To stand up and say, I am yours, Jesus. Wash me again. Be with us this night, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I love you guys. You are dismissed.